Hey everyone, this is Mark Bonner and you're listening to Under the Abbey Stand, brought to you in partnership with Shout. Shout is a free, confidential, 24/7 text messaging support service for anyone struggling to cope. If life ever feels like it's getting too much, you can anonymously text 85258 anytime, day or night, and speak to a trained volunteer for mental health support. Enjoy the pod.
The 29th of December 2001, 20 years, 9 months and 30 days ago, the last time that the Cambridgeshire Derby graced our fine county. And this week, to get you in the mood, we've got none other than the big bad Barry Fry, one of the most controversial figures for many reasons in this derby, as you'll hear. Firstly, let me introduce Jordan Warland, a man who was far older than me when Barry Fry took over at Peterborough, because I was 1 month old on the 1st of August 1996. George, how old were you when Barry first started managing Posh?
Well, at least you were alive. I thought you were going to say you weren't even born.
I'm not sure Tom Walker would have been alive.
What a sad world that would be.
No, yeah, it really would. Yeah.
God, how old would I have been? Good question, but I mean, Bonner would have been on the Habin stands of watching the games with his dad when we last played Borough at home as well. So yeah, it's been too long, man, too long. And nothing is going to get people more in the mood for the game tomorrow than listening to Barry Fry's voice. Nothing is going to want to make you win this game even more than you already do than hearing Barry Fry ramble on. And we've just spoke to him for half an hour. We can confirm. He does like to talk.
He loves to talk. You mentioned one memory and he's off. But like, we should say thank you to Barry. Like, that's very gracious of him to join. And he was obviously a great sport. He's brilliant. I mean, it's brilliant just hearing those, you know, those old stories. And if you ever think, you know, as United fans listen to this, that, you know, if you ever have the sort of thought that, because we've never experienced these derbies for so many of us, like the younger generation, if you ever think that Posh don't hate us as much as we hate them, just listen to their director of football, who has seen plenty of derbies in his time, talk about, we're recording this on Friday, so the game tomorrow, and that will get you in the mood and realise that this is a big occasion. His record against us, he mentioned as a manager, was pretty decent. He'd beat us 4 times and only lost once. But the actual record between the clubs is pretty even, really. Like, I mean, including the 3 Pizza Trophy games.
Don't look at our away record, mate. Don't bring us down there.
But I mean, we've won 14 against Posh, drawn 11, lost 16. So it's not even it's not as bad as for some reason I had in my head. But yeah, Barry was brilliant. I mean, just hearing him talk about how excited he is for the game. And George, how do you feel about the bet with a few bottles of champers if the U's win? How confident are you that we'll be sipping that bubbly?
Mate, if we can win away at Wickham, we can win anywhere, right?
Exactly.
It's been a long, long time since we've won at London Road. We're due something special. So I'm not sure I trust Barry Fry to produce us a bottle of Posh champagne. I reckon he's probably going to piss in that and then give it to us. But, you know, it's the gesture at least.
He had some lovely words to say about United in a sort of surprising way. I think he was very confidential about Bonner and the board and everything, as you're going to hear. It's worth mentioning we did have a lot of internet problems on this. It took ages for...
Tell me about it, mate.
Barry's audio to connect, as you'll hear. George, he's not quite as silky tones there. He's joining from his phone. George cut out halfway through and then rejoined.
I cut out because the internet dropped, not because Barry was boring. So stick with it and listen. It's not Barry. It's my terrible internet connection. And I just hope internet issues are the only issues I face this weekend. And there's going to be no Harrogate backheaders or anything like that to
nothing to like
think
that
about.
And Barry himself cut out a couple of times, so we skipped over a few bits in the running order for time problems. So there's no McFarland we don't go too far into Mark Joseph or Scott Rendell. But all that means is that we're going to get Barry back on come April, and we can delve into all that side of our history. So anyway, I'll leave the rest to the man himself.
Love him or hate him, I guarantee you know the words to his song. We're joined today by none other than Mr. Barry Fry. Welcome, Barry.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for inviting me. It's an honour.
I wanted to start by looping back to my reference to your song there. I've always wondered how it must feel knowing that for the last, 20 plus years, somewhere else in the country to where you are at the time on a Saturday, there's a group of people in their hundreds or thousands singing a song about you. Do you ever think about it? Do you love it? Do you hate it? Does it make you laugh?
I used to be a regular visitor of at the Abbey Stadium, and I always joined in. I stood up and joined in. I mean, I thought it was wonderful to take the piss out of yourself as well, you know what I mean? But, oh, yeah. I mean, when I joined Peterborough, I made the mistake of saying, somebody asked me about Cambridge United, and I went, oh yeah, I'm great friends with Cambridge United, I've done a lot of deals in the past and been very successful, made them a lot of money, and immediately the posh fans hated me as well as the Cambridge United fans.
I mean, it's both fan bases, yeah, in one go.
Nate Fry. Yeah. But I do. I've got wonderful memories of Cambridge United because Ron Atkinson was a big mate of mine. He was manager of Kettering Town when I started off in management at Dunstable Town. I bought three players off him, Trevor Peck, George Cleary, John Hawksby, and that helped me gain promotion, scoring 103 goals in my first year in management. Ron was very successful at Kettering and went on to Cambridge. I always used to go. They used to play a lot on a Friday night, and Ron always invited me over, and there were big time managers there. He used to have a box of cigars and bottles of champagne, and he didn't drink it or smoke it himself, but all the other managers he invited, and I remember a youth game we played when I was at Dunstable. We had a great youth team, and we went over to the Abbey Stadium, and I sat with Ron in the director's box, and I had two outstanding players, a boy called Floyd Street, who was a great big, and he said, he's never under 18. I said, Ron, he's 16. And a left back called Jamie Murray. So anyway, we was talking, and we beat them 3-2. Brilliant game. So Ron said, you know, tell me about this Floyd Street. And I was going, well, he's 16, you know, he's a monster. He said, he's never 16. He's built like a brick, what's the name, you know. And so he said, well, about the left back, he's got a great left foot and full of energy. I went, yeah, he's 17 and all that. He said, have you got him on pro? I went, no, we haven't got any players on pro contracts, and you can't sign them when they're 16. They're just in the youth team. So he said, I'll be very interested in them. Anyway, after the game, he said, go in my office, Baz. I'll just see the lads and I'll see you later. So about half an hour later after the game, he come in, and I was sort of rubbing my hands because I thought he was going to make me an offer for Jamie Murray and Floyd Street. So I said, Ron, what about them players? You know, what are you going to give me for them? He said, well, to be honest, Barry, he said, I've just been out and seen them, pulled them into the secretary's office, and we've signed them. I went, well, you what? You, I said, you're supposed to give me 7 days notice of approach. He went, here, that letter's backdated. So he nicked two players off me, and Jamie Murray and Floyd Street was exceptional for Cambridge. But anyway, I was after one of his players once. He went from Kettering to Cambridge, and when he was at Cambridge, he done well, and he had a player called Bill Baldry, who wouldn't go full time because he had a great job at the Vauxhall Motors. So I was after him all the time. I said, "Look, you're not keeping Bill. He's only part time. He won't leave his lucrative job at Vauxhall Motors. What's the chance? Yeah, £2,000, Baz. £2,000. I said, I ain't got 2 pence. So anyway, one Friday he phoned me up. He went, Baz, do you still want Bill Baldry? I went, yeah, love him, Ron. He said, right. He said, Dave Rushton, the chairman, has refused for my Friday night game to fill my room with champagne and cigars. So he said, if you fetch me a crate of Moe over, you can have Bill Baldry. Well, I shot down the off licence, got 6 bottles of Moe in a crate, went to Ron, went in his office, got him in there, all that. And I said, yeah, Ron, there's your 6 bottles here. He said, Baz, I've got to admit, he said, I've overcharged you, so have 2 back. So I signed Bill Baldry, and Bill Baldry was great for me.
I assume you did the same Ron, thing with Mark Joseph all those years later.
Yeah, Ron also signed, he sold me George Cleary, him, John Oxby and Trevor Peck for £5,000 when I was at Dunstable in the cheque bank. So Ron went berserk. But anyway, we sorted that one out. But he bought George Cleary off me as well when he was at Cambridge, and he done well. So I've got great, great memories with Cambridge regarding Ron. And but I've got even greater memories with Cambridge when our mate Chris Turner was there.
Mm.
Chris done a wonderful job. I was at Barnet at the time, and I used to go and watch Cambridge reserves, and he had a fantastic group of players at the time, Chrissy Turner. And over the years, he done me many, many favours. You know, he sold me Gary Poole and Gary Bull for £5,000, and they helped me get promotion, get in the Football League, and everything. They was marvellous, and I sold them for a lot of money. And obviously, Cambridge had to sell on. But he also loaned me a lot of players. Chrissy Ledbetter, Liam Dacey loaned me. Mm. Dion Dublin, he loaned me, played one game for me.
That's the
George Riley. Me.
That's the thing with Turner, isn't it? He doesn't always get the recognition for putting the squad together that Beck then went and got all those promotions with. It's the names you just listed off there. That was his groundwork, wasn't it? But he's an interesting name that he's loved on both sides of the Cambridge rival, isn't he? Because he's big
the only one I ever know of.
Yeah.
But he is. I mean, Chris and I was great friends because he'd done me great favours. You know, he loaned me players that, and he didn't charge me the full price and what have you. And I was unable to give his players games. And, you know, eventually I bought 3 or 4 of them for good, like. And he was brilliant. And to be quite honest, when he got the sack at Cambridge, I offered him a job. We was only part-time at Barnet. And he come and helped me, you know, on a Tuesday and Thursday. So he was great. And then, of course, I had John Devaney ring me up, the Peterborough owner at the time, and asked to speak to Chris. And, of course, obviously, I couldn't stand in his way. And he went back to Peterborough. So, but he done me many, many favours, Chrissy Turner, when he was at Cambridge. And also my memories of Cambridge as well. When I went to Birmingham, I went to Cambridge. Gary Johnson was manager then, and signed Steve Claridge and Liam Daish. And they was absolutely brilliant for me at Birmingham, and both of them helped me win the double. And Daishi, I called Captain Marvel. He struggled to get through the medical because he was he had so many problems wrong, but we eventually got him through the medical, and I made him captain, and he, you know, he was captain when we won the double. You know, we won the league.
There's some amazing stories about Daish in that Beck team. Like Dion Dublin was talking about him, like starting fights in the tunnel, like before games.
Oh yeah. You wouldn't want to meet Liam Daish in a dark tunnel, mate. I tell you, all 12 of you wouldn't. he was sensational, great on the field and off the field, and well, if looks could kill, he'd killed me 100 times when I used to try to give him a bollocking. but they was great characters and done me well. And, you know, I bought them for a few hundred grand and sold them for millions. And, you know, obviously Cambridge got a percentage of that as well. So we was all happy. So, like I say, I've done a lot of dealings with Cambridge. I've got a lot of things. And but I made the mistake when I first went into Peterborough with one of my first interviews saying I sort of respect and admire Cambridge, and it was the worst thing I ever said. And I've been hated ever since. That's 27 years, by the way, lads.
Should we dig into some of the history then? So what's the first Cambridge Borough derby that you can remember from your time at Borough?
Well, to be quite honest, because I was manager there for nearly 10 years and then went director of football when I was owner, chairman, and manager as well, which it was an impossible task because we didn't have a pot to piss in, and it was real struggle, you know, but we managed to overcome that. And then Darren McAntony come 2.5 years later and bought the club off me. I only went to Peterborough, to be quite honest, because of Chris Turner. He was a big mate of mine, and he was very ill. He was in the Fitzwilliam Hospital when I got the sack at Birmingham, and he begged me to become manager. I didn't fancy it at the time. It was too early. But then when he was having convalescent at home in Ramsey Fortfit, I went to see him and Alfand, and decided to go in there because that they was going to form a holding company and rent me the ground for £1 a year, and I could buy and sell who I wanted, which I've been pretty good at, so that appealed to me. But it never happened because of tax implications of moving the club into a holding company. So I really went to Peterborough under false pretenses, but nevertheless, because my promise to Chris, I kept it, and I struggled through for many times. But when I was owner, manager, chairman, all at once, Darren McAntony come and bought the club off me for £1. So he's taken it to places where I could have never imagined it being, you know, because I'm not a wealthy man. I'm just a football nut, to be honest. But getting back to the question, sorry, lads, about my recollection of games with Cambridge. While I was manager, I had 8 games with Cambridge. I won 4, sorry chaps, drew 3 and lost 1. Normally the games are very, very close between the two sides. I won 2 of them, 1-0, 1-0. I hold the record of a win when we beat you 4-1. But my greatest memory of Posh and Cambridge games is when Cambridge was flying high and we were struggling, fighting relegation, and Cambridge went 1-0 up. And in the second half, we made a miraculous recovery. Stevie Castle got the equaliser, and then Leon McKenzie got the winner. And that is my greatest game against the our friends. So I only lost one out of eight, which is, I'm very proud of that record because we was a shit side for a long time, you know what I mean?
What were those games like? Were they like...
That was fierce. We had the best crowd. I think we got 11,000 for nearly all our home games, the four home games that we had. And I think Cambridge had good crowds at the Abbey Stadium. And of course, we filled the away end and all that. But the atmosphere was fantastic. There was nothing like it, no matter what other game you played. You know, that was the one everybody looked forward to. When you got the fixture list in June, when we're playing Cambridge home and away, you know what I mean? Because not only the players, the management and the fans, they all that was the game. You know, you could lose practically every other game in the league as long as you didn't lose to Cambridge.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same from us, isn't it? It's the same everywhere.
It's amazing how such hatred amongst the supporters, but such, I've got to tell you, lads, such friendship in the boardrooms.
Really?
You know, I admire what and applaud what Cambridge have done, because they was in the doldrums and what have you, but now they've got a great man at the helm, they've got a great board of directors, they're making unbelievable strides. I applaud the appointment of Mark. I always go and watch my under-18s before I go to the main game. When we play Cambridge, I go to Cambridge. Mark used to run the 18s and what have you, and he'd done a great job with the youth and all that. I was delighted they promoted him. I'm delighted he's been such a wonderful success. And, you know, Andy Beattie used to play for me. So, and he's there doing a great job. We can't say we're friends because he'd perhaps lose his job. So he played for me. But no, I admire what Cambridge have done because, you know, they've been like Peterborough. They've been in the doldrums and they've picked themselves up. And, you know, I think they've got security now.
Yeah, well, like last time we played each other, it was 2001, right? I think it was a 0-0 draw at the Abbey, I think. Can you believe it's been 21 years since we played each other? So if I'd told you then.
I can't believe I've been at Peterborough for 27 years. I mean, I've been hated, by the way, since day one. So how the hell I'm still there, I ain't got a clue. But I'm glad I am. And I'm glad I'm there to see this wonderful game tomorrow, which we're all looking forward to.
Yeah, well, let's talk about it for a little bit. What's the mood like in Peterborough? You know, like, are people excited it's back, or are they sort of hating the fact that we're back in the same league again?
No. As much as they, should I say, all our fans dislike Cambridge, they love the game. We miss the game when we're not in the same league. We really do. And to be honest, we miss them so much that on several occasions I've tried to get a pre-season friendly. But the police have always objected because of the trouble with the fans. Pre-season friendly, for Christ's sake. But no, like I say, the two clubs are great. The fans add to that banter. We both want to win. Form goes out of the window. As I said before, Cambridge was, I think, 13 places above us when we won that game 2-1. Form goes out of the window. It's just the occasion. Unfortunately, it gets to some people. It really does. Because there's not an atmosphere like it for the rest of the season with all your home games. That's the beauty of this. It'll be, and everybody waits with anticipation because nobody knows the outcome. You know what I mean? Nobody knows the outcome of any game, but with a derby, you're always hoping and praying it's you, but knowing that you get a kick in the watsits every now and then. You know what I mean? It's incredible, really, but it's lovely.
Well, let me ask you this. You know, like in these 20 years that we haven't played each other, we've both sort of had to make do with these like other rivalries, right? So like we've played Luton quite a few times and Stevenage and Northampton, I know, is obviously a big game for Posh as well. But do you think Posh fans still consider Cambridge like the biggest rival, and that's the derby for Posh fans?
Yeah, without a doubt. Although, speaking to Posh fans that's been there longer than I, Northampton is the real local derby, but all Posh fans want the Cambridge one. That is the one. It's like Man United and Man City and, you know, Tottenham and Arsenal. It is real serious, you know, bragging rights in the pubs and everywhere, in the offices. And you know, it means so much to the fans, you know. And I think players come and go, but fans stay, and it really means some more to the fans than what it does to the players. So sometimes managers of both clubs have got to calm their players down and sort of make them relax and play their normal game instead of getting caught up with the atmosphere and all that, because it's electric, absolutely electric. Can't wait for 3 o'clock tomorrow night, chaps.
How do you think? How do you think Grant? I don't know if you spoke to Grant at all, but like, how do you think he's trying to get the players up for it? Is he trying to sort of get across like how big a game this is? Because he won't have experienced the derby himself, right? So I don't know. Is that your job? Is that what you're doing? Getting in there, being like, lads, you've got to beat Cambridge, or?
Well, I go in the training ground every morning. Obviously, I see the gaffer, and if he wants anything, I try to get him it. That's my job. I walk around the training ground. I see the under-18s train. I see the under-21s train. I see the first team train. I have a great banter with the lads. And I must admit, I have said this week, you've got to be up for Saturday. And the lads had to remind me that we had an important game on Tuesday. Never mind next Saturday. I went in Monday. I went, come on, lads, the big one. You know, Cambridge Saturday. And they went, hold on. Hold on, Baz. We got Accrington tomorrow. I went, oh, yeah, okay. So I got carried away, but thank God they didn't. And we won that game. And, Grant's cool as a cucumber. He just wants the lads to concentrate on the football and the opposition. We've all got the greatest respect for Mark and the job he's done at Cambridge and for their players. In my opinion, I know they've had a difficult run lately through lots of mitigating circumstances, in my opinion, but they had a wonderful win that will set them up. You know, we went to Wickham recently and lost. They went to Wickham and won. So that's it.
Yeah.
But their results since Mark's took over are quite unbelievable, to be honest. So nobody knows the outcome. It will be a wonderful occasion, great game. May the best team win, as long as it's Posh.
As long as they're wearing yellow, right?
What?
Yeah. Let's just touch on Super Marky Bonner then. So from a distance, Barry, you mentioned that you've noticed the good job that he's done. Are you surprised that he's done so well, considering he's not had a normal route into management? Like, he wasn't a pro footballer. He's not had a career and then retired and got into management. He's worked his way up from literally managing sort of the summer schools in the, you know, for kids up through into the youth team. Are you?
No. I've come across him and his teams. And you know, I've been across and watched the 18s on dozens of times over the years, and while he's been in charge, and I've always admired, and we always had great games with Cambridge under 18s as well, and under 16s, and he was there all the time. And I admired the way his team played and what he'd done and all that. I was delighted when he got a job because normally clubs go for big-time Charlies, and there is a lot of great potential managers running youth setups and being managers of youth setups. And I was pleased that Cambridge promoted him. He done marvellous. I was even more pleased that he showed such great loyalty in turning down the Rotherham job recently. Not many clubs would do that. I hope the Cambridge board realise when he has a bad spell, which all managers do, that they show the same loyalty to him as he did to them. Because rest assured, I know Tony Stewart at Rotherham very, very well, that they're a very, very good club. And financially, they would have, outbid Cambridge by a lot of money. And the fact that he turned it down and stayed where he was, I've got to admire him. There will be other clubs come in for Mark Bonner, no doubt in my mind at all. He's doing such a great job at Cambridge. And long may it continue, apart from tomorrow, lads.
Do you think that tomorrow, the fact that he's a Cambridge boy, the fact he's a Cambridge fan, he would have stood on the Habin when we played your Borough team all those years ago. Do you think the fact that he's got that Cambridge fan element to him, do you think that will give Cambridge maybe a slight mentality advantage because of how he'll be able to fire up the team, or you're not buying that?
No, I am buying that. I think his passion and commitment for his club, Cambridge United, will come through, and he will install that in his players to, you know, every game he wants to win, but this game he wants to win 100 times more than any other. And that will come across, and that will go into his players. And I fully expect a very, very, very difficult game tomorrow. There's no question about it. He will psych them up. And as he's shown throughout this season, they've gone to big clubs and got good results.
Barry, just before we let you go, for the United fans listening who maybe don't know this year's Posh side that well, who are the sort of players that we need to be watching out for? Just, you know, 90 minutes on the pitch, who are the best Posh players that we need to watch out for?
All 11 at Grant.
I knew you'd say that.
No, we have. I mean, in Johnston Clark Harris, we've got the leading goal scorer in the league. He's got to have the service and he'll score goals. Either side of him, we've got exciting players. Kwame Poku is brilliant. He's got 3 goals in the last few games. He suffers from injuries a little bit, so he's out for a couple of weeks and then he's back. But he will cause you problems. On the other side, Efron Mason-Clark, who we got from Barnet, he made 2 last week and scored a disallowed goal at Oxford when we won. He scored a sensational goal on Tuesday and made another one. So he's in form. He's replacing Ricky J. Jones, who before he got injured for 5 games, he was unplayable. Ricky's 19, Pogu's 20, Harrison Burrows has been put in midfield by Grant McCann now, and he's been sensational in there. He's only 19. Ronnie Edwards at the back is only 19. So we've really got a very young but talented players in the side, and we've got a nice mixture of experience with our other players like Jono and Nathan Thompson and people like that. So we've got a nice mixture of youth and experience, and they're dwelling, they're coming together well. But we've got strength in depth this year that we've never really had. You know, Jack Marriott's on the bench, and when he was with us before, he was a Golden Boot winner, scoring 30-odd goals. Johnston Clark Harris, when we got promotion, was a Golden Boot winner, scoring 30-odd goals. So, them two are not playing together at the minute. I think when you've got 2 players like that, you've always got a chance. So whether the game's going right or wrong, we have got people to come off the bench and make a difference. And I think that will stand us in good stead.
You sound confident, Barry.
I'm very confident. I'm always confident. But, you know, as you all know, I don't get many things right, lads.
Yeah, don't underestimate Mark Bonner's tricky use, mate.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all, though, but I would never do that. Never do that.
So, go on, if we had to push you for a prediction for tomorrow, what would it be?
7-4. I think it'd be very entertaining.
I'll take it.
I think it'll be very entertaining. Goldmouth action all over the place. But yeah, like I said, lads, I've never got anything right, so it'll be a boring 0-0. See you Saturday.
Barry, if we win, are you going to have Julian and I up in the boardroom for a nice cognac or something?
Yeah, no, we'll have a champagne and cigar up in the boardroom, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't got any cigars, but I'll buy a couple for you, lads, yeah. And, I'll give you a drop of posh champagne.
Right. Tell you what, that's the deal.
McCanthony would hate us in the boardroom, by the way.
Well, Dara's not there tomorrow, so don't worry.
We'll run riot then.
Okay, right, Barry, I'll tell you what, let's put this in writing just before we go. If we win, if Posh win, I'll buy you a box of cigars. If we win, you buy us a box of cigars. How about that?
No, I'll give you a bottle each of Posh champagne.
Okay, all right, fine. Deal.
Okay.
As in like a posh champagne or Peterborough United champagne. The word posh is throwing me.
It's a bottle of champagne and it'll have posh on it. So you can do what the hell you like with it if you beat us. I'll give you one each, right?
All right, that's a deal, mate. Thank you very much for joining, Barry.
Pleasure.
Best of luck Saturday.
After tomorrow.
Yeah.
Better.